So as many of you will probably know already, I come from a tradition in the church, or at least I began in the church, in a tradition that was very obsessed with salvation. Salvation in the sense of being saved from hell, particularly saved from hell. And it seemed to live as much in maybe an unstated or an unconscious fear of what God would do to us if we didn't live up to the standards we were meant to live up to, mainly proclaimed by our church leaders. If we didn't have all of our religious ducks in a row, we were in trouble. Well, I didn't have ducks or a row. I had squirrels and they were at a rave, as someone once said. So that's kind of the way that I ended up coming out of that tradition. But in that tradition, what would I have made with the scripture that we had this morning from James? The looking after the widow and orphan stuff was fine. You could do charity. That was okay. That was a nice thing to do. And I wouldn't for one moment suggest that the community I was in wasn't compassionate. But the last part of that very last verse would be where we landed all the time. Keep oneself unstained by the world. And this mentality has been the basis of what we have come to know and come to call as a purity culture. Particularly but not exclusively prevalent here in North America, Turtle Island. This purity culture sees the world around as a threat. And things such as sexuality, gender identity, poverty, art, entertainment, music, and even video games need to be controlled, preferably excluded, to prevent us being defiled, to prevent us being stained by the world. But I think that James is talking about something altogether different. James, who's often referred to as James the Just, probably the first leader of the church in Jerusalem in partnership with St. Peter, Cephas, maybe the brother of Jesus, but he calls himself at the beginning of this letter a brother of Jesus, which is all of us, siblings of Jesus. The jury's out on who James is, at least for, well, the last 20 centuries or so. Anyway, what I think that James means by this little phrase that ends our passage, we can learn a little by listening to what Jesus says in today's gospel. Jesus' declaration that it is not what comes from outside that defiles a person. It's not the everyday dirt and reality, the earthiness of living. It's not the outside threatening us. It's the internalizing of attitudes which are negative and destructive, which come when we live negatively. These are the things which despoil, defile, and stain. Jesus is pretty clear, and he gives us a key here, that it is not purity we are seeking, not some elusive place of being unstained, but it is being alive, being filled with life rather than distracted by those things which lead to spiritual death. And there's an extensive but not exhaustive list. I'm going to read it again just in case you weren't listening. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. To which we could add racism, homophobia, transphobia, prejudice, and making political comments on the internet. I say that from personal experience recently. Not me making the comments, I should point that out. All these things that treat others as less than human, or treat things as more important than human beings, that dehumanize and exclude, these are disruptive in a dangerous and destructive way. We see again and again throughout the Hebrew scriptures in which Jesus was steeped, the calling to be a just society, a society where all are cared for, where the life of the spirit and the life of the person are taken care of, where the spiritual and physical are deeply intertwined, where loving God means loving neighbor and loving self. The summary of this I often refer to using the Hebrew word shalom, peace, well-being, healing, wholeness. This is the context to and from which Jesus speaks. And James too. James was for many centuries dismissed as too focused on works, to the point that the early church almost considered his epistle an appendix. And indeed, as late as the Reformation, Martin Luther, you may know, is reputed to have said, St. James' epistle is really an epistle of straw, for it has nothing of the gospel about it. Having said that, although he relegated it to an appendix in his earlier works, it is considered by Martin Luther to be entirely canonical and carry the weight of Scripture in his later writings. What James is, and what many commentators have said, is a letter, or more, a monologue, deeply rooted in its Hebrew context, from the Jerusalem church, which Paul records is the church of the circumcised, those Jews and Jewish proselytes who follow Jesus. James is trying to get to the heart of Torah, the law of righteousness, and that religious observance is not an end in itself, but as a way to express the divine, the values of the divine in our everyday lives. If we nurture our spiritual lives, says James, we are open to that self-awareness which he alludes to in our epistle. One which prevents us from being merely hearers of the word, but doers. Those who have responded and acted to the call of the divine. Those whose life of the spirit means we take care of ourselves and are careful about what we say. Those who carry a passion implanted by the Spirit of God for true religion, the care of the vulnerable, who James sums up as widows and orphans because they were two of the most vulnerable groups in his day. The avoidance of those things which stop us knowing fullness of life, an obsession with money or ownership of goods, the need to hold power or to be in control of others, the concern only about our self-image, the use of others as objects to bolster our own egos, and not seeing the value of everyone. These are the things of the world which stain us. And of course, it's a two-way street. What we do affects how we feel and how we engage with the world, how we are aware of our bodies and our movement, the things we read and watch and do and share shape our internal life, and how we hold our anger or our sadness or our fear or our joy, our hope, our love within ourselves affects our physical self too. It's a dynamic and moving relationship that we're often unaware of. How much our emotional and spiritual life affects our bodies, and how much our physical life affects our hearts and minds, but that's probably a sermon for another time. But the disconnect of our internal and our exterior life is something that is addressed again and again in our scriptures. Just as we've seen in the gospel reading for today, Jesus speaks strongly, angrily, towards those whose faith is an external event, who, quoting Isaiah, honor with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. In vain, says God, do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. Jesus tells them they abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition. Harsh words indeed. And Jesus wasn't just talking to the Pharisees. It's easy to vilify them as a bunch of hypocrites, but it seems the gospel writers prefer to use the word Pharisees generally as a shortcut for any who engage in religious hypocrisy, a shortcut to criticize any kind of hypocrisy in the name of religion, of just acting out of religious belief without actually seeking a relationship with the divine. Jesus doesn't condemn all tradition and religious observance, even of the Pharisees. He is angry, though, when superficial ways of doing things take place of the divine, of God, God's self. Jesus is scathing when religiosity, yes, it's a real word, even if I've only just made it up, is a substitute for paying attention to our own interior life and to the life of the divine. For us here at St. John's, our spiritual life, the spiritual energy and refreshment of this community, is the engine which drives all that we do to change this world for the better. Sustained by those garden moments, as they're often called, where we see God in the world around us, and refreshed by the Spirit, we seek to be people of faith, hope, and love. And again, we gather here to share in communion. Again, we offer ourselves into the hands of God to ask for help, for grace, for strength, to seek to bring the worlds around us and the worlds within us together, to express a deeper reality with the comfort and challenge of this gathering. Whether we're online or in person, we gather to inspire us to address our own needs and not forsake them, but also to offer our own hopes and our longings, to use that spiritual life and energy to transform our world. May we know ourselves, may we know God, and may we know the place and the people to which we have been called to serve in love. Amen.